The word today is asking us to attend to our inner life and to think about our heart's desires. The Lord takes Jeremiah to the potter's house to illustrate how the divine potter takes this lump of clay and continually reworks it and molds it toward the good. And in the difficult gospel passage in Luke, Jesus asks us to examine the secrets of our hearts and to consider what is our chief priority. In the Luke passage, a large crowd of ordinary people have been following Jesus and are coming to him to be his followers. Jesus at this time is making his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. And he asked them, this large crowd, if they are aware of the cost of following him. And we hear the astonishing words that whoever does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. And at the close of Jesus' teaching, he sums up his thought by saying, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Well, how radical is this? Fortunately, biblical commentators help us with this passage. They point out that in Semitic languages, such as Aramaic, which Jesus speaks, the word hate does not have the same emotional charge that it does in our language, but is better translated turn away or detach oneself, so that discipleship and kingdom living requires detachment from even your loved ones and makes God's movement in the world the deepest priority. Well, this is helpful, for otherwise the passage would seem to go completely against what we know to be the golden thread in the Gospels, and that is that we would love one another, our families and our friends, our neighbors, strangers, and even those we might call difficult people, and that we care for them, do not detach ourselves from them, and nourish them. But even if we use the words detach or turn away from our loved ones, still, Jesus' words are very radical. When you follow me, he is saying to this large crowd on his way to the cross, when you follow me, that following must take precedence over all your other loyalties and attachments. Discipleship must be your heart's top priority. You can imagine Jesus as he looks out at the large crowd of ordinary people who are following him and saying, are you sure you want to follow me? Do you know what the consequences of your following might be? As Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it, discipleship costs. It doesn't come cheaply. These words call us into self-questioning, don't they? And asking, do we have the inner life, the inner peace, the courage and strength, the loyalty to carry out through to completion our call to follow him? After all, we don't know where he'll ask us to go, into the hospitals, into the prisons, to work with the homeless. We hear that working at the Beacon is very tiring. Oh, yes, Lord, I would follow you, but first I want to bury my father. Or let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And we sputter around and say, first I need to do this, and oh, I can't do that. But after I do this, I will follow. And then we begin to recognize that the claim of Christ on us has not become our first heart priority. The dean had a sermon two Sundays before, you may have been here, in which he said, do we follow the baby Jesus that we hold in our hands, who gives us comfort and gives love? Or are we ready to follow the mature Jesus who goes to the cross and who asks us to go into places where we might not feel very comfortable? Well, I think it depends on who you think Jesus is as to how we answer that question. If we think he's the divine potter who's come to us to heal us and our world, to heal the world of its inhumanity, its violence and corruption, its meanness and hatred, then we begin to see why it is that Jesus is saying, follow me must be your heart desire and must take priority over all other loyalties. Still, this is just hard. It's no wonder that this passage is among those that people refer to as hard passages. But there are examples of people who have taken this passage very seriously and who, for whom it's hard but not impossible through God's grace. For example, today, September the 4th, Pope Francis will canonize Mother Teresa, who was just an ordinary girl from Yugoslavia. But through the grace of the divine potter, responded to Jesus' requirement in our gospel for today. And because of her works of love and mercy in India today and worldwide, today Pope Francis will solemnly proclaim Mother Teresa a holy person, who is to be venerated publicly in the liturgy of the Catholic Church. She will have her own feast day in the Catholic Church. And her work of compassion to the dying, her sheltering the homeless, her protecting the lepers, extending love to the most unloved among humanity, will be recognized forever as an example of following Jesus. Well, I tend to say, she's just a unique, gifted person among the rest of us. But God did reach down upon her and gave her the power and the perseverance to do those merciful acts. And she developed a worldwide community of missionaries of charity whose mission was to give wholehearted service to the poorest of the poor, to refugees, to mentally ill, to sick and abandoned children, people with AIDS. And in a 2012 census, there were 4,500 worldwide of these missionaries of charity. In fact, there's an order in Galveston, Houston Diocese of the missionaries of charity. And I don't know if you caught an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, but it takes us deeply into the life of these missionaries of charity. They know the cost of discipleship, just as this passage describes it. You see, the members of this order are required to detach from their loved ones and to give up all their possessions and devote themselves to ministering to the poorest of the poor. When they enter the order, they are required to fit any possessions they may bring with them into a small box. And this is very austere, but visits to their relatives are limited to one visit every 10 years. Now, these requirements have a purpose, for they help these nuns and guard against attachment to earthly goods and to family relationships, so that the claim of Christ on them becomes their top heart priority. And also, these nuns have to be ready to pick up their little box and go anywhere that the order says that they should go. Travel anywhere, so that even attachment to place and home cannot become carved out as a top priority. Living holy in faith and hope and charity, that's what describes these missionaries of charity. And I don't think these are really extraordinary women. I think they're ordinary people like you and I are. But I think the potter's wheel molds them and has molded them into do the work that they are doing, their works of love and mercy, and to take this particular passage seriously. And therefore, they set forth the model that Jesus gave us. But what does all this mean to us? I mean, I know that I'm not going to Calcutta. I don't feel called to that. I'm not going to become a missionary in Africa or Asia, though I might have briefly thought about that as a young person. I would doubt that anyone here has such a plan, but if you do, that's fabulous. But more broadly, what does this mean for us to consider this passage today? I think it means we have to take the passage very seriously and not just pass on to something that makes us more comfortable. We have to take seriously any call that we feel Christ has laid upon us. And we have to give that call a heart priority. And in our service, we must be ready to be taken to places that are not comfortable, not pleasant, perhaps taxing and filled with sorrow. Or we must be ready to pray, if that is our calling, instantaneously when we notice someone suffering. It means that wherever we go, we stand up for faith, hope, and charity. And charity, I mean unconditional love for others, and expressed itself in some form of action. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and many of us know what the cost of discipleship was for him. Bonhoeffer said, "The church is the church only when it exists for others." For him, service to one's neighbor is the only true movement toward God. And it's God's gift of faith that makes this movement possible. And Bonhoeffer speaks of spontaneity in this call. Spontaneity in one's response to people in need. When we see someone suffering on the street, we are called that moment to that moment of kingdom living. To be a person of faith and hope and charity at all times and in our families and in the workplace. And even in this tortured time of political polarization. A loving God is in charge. I believe that. And this God is continually working with us to extend God's love into the world. The potter's wheel is always going. Mother Teresa has said, and it's one of my favorite quotes, "Love is a fruit in season at all times. And within the reach of every hand, anyone can gather it, that fruit of love, and no limit is set. Everyone can reach this love through meditation, prayer, sacrifice, and an intense inner life." Amen.